Amen. Well, please take your Bibles, and if you'll turn with me now to the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. Today, of course, is Palm Sunday, and our message is entitled, Shout to the Lord. So I think we should start by, like, maybe making some noise in here. What do you say? Let's start with maybe the word Hosanna. Can you shout out Hosanna to the Lord together? One, two, three. Hosanna! Oh, boy, that's good, but we can do better, right? Do it again. Hosanna! How about praise the Lord? Praise the Lord! He is worthy! He is worthy! Doesn't that feel good? Right? It should. It's supposed to, right? Jesus is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is worthy of all praise, and it is good and right to lift up his name in praise. So, Hosanna! Jesus is Lord. Okay, now I think we're ready to get started. So we're in John chapter 12. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? John 12, beginning at verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Now, at first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear God, as we look into your word this morning, as we look back at this wonderful event that took place in that first Palm Sunday, Lord, I pray that you would help us not only to enter into the joy and excitement of that day, but Lord, we would just be challenged in our own hearts to give you great honor and praise, for you are so worthy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. One of the great lessons of Palm Sunday is that Jesus is a great Savior, and he is worthy of great praise. You know, and the people who lined the roads that day, they weren't quiet, right? They were loud in their praises. They sang, and they shouted, and they clapped, and they waved. They didn't care what anybody else thought. They were excited. They were thrilled about Jesus. They were thrilled that Jesus was entering their city of Jerusalem. Now, we know that not all of them were truly committed to Christ. We know that many of them, actually, by the end of the week, would turn against him. But you've got to admit this, right? On this day, that first Palm Sunday, they got it right. They got it right. And, you know, Jesus did not rebuke them for their boisterous praise. And he welcomed it. He accepted it. He even encouraged it. You know who did try to stop it? It was the religious leaders, right? They tried to stop it. They even told Jesus, they said, rebuke your followers. Tell them to be quiet. Remember what Jesus said? I tell you, if they remain quiet, the stones themselves will cry out. There was no stopping the praises for Jesus that day. Why? Because Jesus is a great Savior, and he is worthy of great praise. And when we praise Jesus greatly, we can expect three things to happen as a result. Three things. First of all, we show that he is worthy of great praise. Secondly, we display emotions appropriate to his greatness. And thirdly, we draw other people to praise him as well. All three of those come from our passage today. All three are on the outline that's in your worship guide if you want to take that out to follow along. Plenty of space to jot down notes today as well. So first of all, when we praise Jesus greatly, we show that he is worthy of great praise. So let me set the context of our passage this morning for you. It was the Sunday before Passover. We know it as the Sunday before Easter, right? They had no idea what was coming on the following Sunday. So for them, Sunday before Passover. And obviously, there's a great crowd there. They've gathered. They came early for this stuff. They've gathered in Jerusalem for the feast. And we're told the people, they're looking for Jesus. They'd heard about Jesus. They'd heard about the miracles he was doing. They just wanted to see him, to catch a glimpse of him. But Jesus, he'd been kind of keeping his distance. He knew that the Jewish leaders were plotting at this point to take his life. And then some heard that, you know, hey, he's just a few miles away. He's in the city of Bethany. And so a large crowd went out to see him there. But when the news came that Jesus was finally on his way to Jerusalem, then that huge crowd that had all gathered together for the feast, they came out in force. And they took the palm branches in their hand, waving them. They went out to meet him. And they shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Sometimes people wonder, well, why were they waving palm branches? What's that? Was it just convenient? They were just around. Well, that's part of it. But the palm branches were the national symbol for Israel. Right? You know, we live in the city of Plantation. We have a symbol for our city. It's the pineapple. You may have seen the pineapple around town. That's our symbol. Stands for Plantation. Palm branches, national symbol for Israel. And so when the people are waving the branches back and forth and singing these praises, this signified their hope that Jesus was coming to deliver their nation, the national symbol, deliver their nation from the Roman government. And the praises that the people shouted came right out of Scripture. They're just quoting the Psalms here, Psalm 118, which is one of the Psalms that was associated with the Passover and with other Jewish feasts. And we find the words that they shouted are recorded for us in verses 25 to 27, Psalm 118. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. With boughs in hand, palm branches, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. So we want to take the words from this psalm now and compare them to the words that the people shouted to Jesus on that first Palm Sunday. And the first word they shouted, we just shouted it ourselves, is Hosanna, Hosanna. And you go, well, I don't see that in the psalm. All I see is, oh Lord, save us. Where's Hosanna? Well, that's Hosanna. That's what the word Hosanna means, save us. You read this in the Hebrew, oh Lord, Hosanna, save us. And although it literally means save us, it was also became just a general expression of praise. You know, it was just another way of just praising God, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And so here in the context of Psalm 118, you'll notice in the psalm, it's an expression of praise directed to whom? To the Lord, to God, to Yahweh. An expression of praise directed to the Lord who alone can save. And so when the people take up this cry on their lips and say it to Jesus, Hosanna, it is a cry of praise and trust for deliverance. When they cry out Hosanna to Jesus, they are praising and proclaiming him as Savior and Lord. Now the next phrase the people shouted was, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, right out of the psalm once again. And this was a phrase you heard a lot around Jerusalem during the week of the Passover. This was the way that you welcomed the other pilgrims, because that's what they were. They were pilgrims. They were traveling from a distance. And as you'd come in, you'd see someone, you'd say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they'd say back to you, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It was your way of greeting one another. It was also a way of reminding each other that the Messiah is coming, because everyone knew where that came from. It came from Psalm 118, which was a messianic psalm. And it was truly speaking about the Messiah who would come in the name of the Lord. And so when the people cry this out to Jesus, they're not just welcoming him as a fellow pilgrim, right? Because they've already said, Hosanna, save us, Lord. They've already said that. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They are proclaiming Jesus as the promised Messiah who has come for his people. And this becomes even clearer when they shout out their next line, blessed is the King of Israel. Now, who's the Messiah? The Messiah is the one who would come in the line of David, who would then take the throne as the King of Israel forever and ever. And so by shouting these phrases to Jesus, the people here are proclaiming him as the Messiah, and they were praising him as Savior, Lord, and King. And you'll notice Jesus doesn't stop them. Jesus doesn't rebuke them. Now, if this was just a rabbi, if this was just a normal man or teacher coming into the city, and people started crying out to him, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. They would say, shh, don't do that to me. I'm just a teacher, not Jesus. Jesus accepts these praises. He even welcomes these praises. He encourages it. Look at verses 14 and 15 next. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. John here is quoting from the Old Testament. It's an Old Testament prophecy from the book of Zechariah, where Zechariah prophesied that this future king and Messiah, you would recognize him because he would enter Jerusalem seated on a donkey's colt. So here the people are hailing Jesus as Messiah, Savior, Lord, and King. Jesus accepts and affirms their praises. How? By riding on the donkey into Jerusalem in fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. Now, a king entering a city had two choices of how he's going to do that. Either on a war horse, okay, or a donkey. A war horse would be a big, powerful steed. And if he came in on the war horse, look out. That meant trouble. That meant this king was coming in to conquer. Okay, it was not good news when he came in on the war horse. But if the king rode in on a donkey, that meant he was coming in peace. It was a symbol of peace. Notice which Jesus chose. Jesus chose a young donkey. He humbly entered Jerusalem as the king who would bring peace to all nations through his death for us on the cross. Now, did the people praising him on Palm Sunday understand all this? Of course not. They didn't understand his mission. And yet they rightly recognized him as the Messiah, and they rightly praised him as Savior, Lord, and King. And when they praised him, they held nothing back. They ran to meet him. They waved the palm branches in the air. They shouted with great enthusiasm. They offered great praise. Palm Sunday sets a wonderful example of worship for us. When we praise Jesus greatly, we show that he is worthy of great praise. So that's our first point. Secondly, when we praise Jesus greatly, we display emotions appropriate to his greatness. You know, the Bible says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And therefore, our emotions in worship should reflect the greatness of the Lord. Now, of course, Christian worship is more than just emotion. Okay, it's not just emotion, but it is certainly not less. It's certainly not less than that. You know, yes, we should not be trying to whip crowds into an emotional frenzy. We should not be manipulating people's emotions in worship. But too often we go the other way. Our emotions in worship do not reflect the greatness of our Lord at all. And so when we gather for worship on a Sunday morning and we read scriptures teaching truth about God, and we sing various songs expressing truth about God, and we hear a message from God's word proclaiming truth about God, and yet we leave unmoved in our emotions, folks, something's wrong there. Something is terribly wrong. And of course, we all express our emotions in different ways. Some of us are more visible. Some of us, it's something that is deep in our heart. And we hold that deep in our hearts. This thing is supposed to be on Do Not Disturb. Spam, I almost felt like answering and saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! Jesus is King! But I already hung up on him. Rats! Had a good moment there. Some of us hold those emotions deeper in, don't we? Yeah, we're not as visible. That's okay. As long as your emotion's there, God sees it. If you're feeling it in your heart, or if you want to express it on the outside, don't be afraid of your emotions. You know, even if we don't fully understand the glory of all that takes place in worship, and boy, there's a whole lot going on in worship. We have no idea of all that is going on in the spiritual realm around us, just as you and I sit and stand here this morning worshiping God and proclaiming the word of God and lifting up the name of Jesus. Even if we don't understand all of that that's going on, we should still do what? We should offer up great praise to our great God and King. Because you know what? We already know the crowd didn't understand everything. Even the disciples. Even the disciples did not understand everything that was happening that day. Jesus told them. He told them in advance. They didn't get it. Look at verse 16. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. In other words, they did not understand Jesus' true greatness until later. It wasn't until after Jesus was glorified, until after Jesus' death and resurrection. But the one thing, okay, everyone knew on that day, that first Palm Sunday, because they were all shouting it together, the promised Messiah had come. The King from the line of David was present with power to save. And so they rejoiced and they lifted up their voices to shout his praises. And so what we gather from this is don't be afraid of emotions in worship. Feel things deep in your heart, or you know, if you feel like lifting up your hands to praise God, lift up your hands. If you feel like clapping along with the music, clap along. Sometimes I hear people as just a line of music will just touch their heart. They'll just do that real quick. And it's like, oh, and it helps me as well. Lifts my heart up. Don't be afraid to say praise God or praise the Lord or amen. Someone was telling me a joke on the way out. So the people in the first service didn't get this one because I didn't hear it till afterwards. But she said, you know, there was a church and there was a visitor there and the pastor was preaching. And at one point, you know, the person said, praise the Lord. And the pastor kept on preaching. And then the person said, praise God. You know, the pastor was preaching. Third time he did it. Praise the Lord. Someone tapped on his shoulder. He turned around. A very grim-faced woman looked at him and said, excuse me, young man, but we do not praise the Lord here in this church. So don't be afraid of your emotions. You know, if you feel the need, get out of your seat and dance a little jig. We won't mind, but you know, express your emotions to God. Rejoice in God your Savior. Our God is a great God. And when we praise Jesus greatly, we display emotions appropriate to his greatness. And then finally, when we praise Jesus greatly, we draw other people to praise him as well. And that's what we see here in our text next, verses 17 and 18. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, they continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, then went out to meet him. So there were actually two crowds there that day. I mean, they were all bundled together in one crowd, but there were two groups of people in that crowd. First, there was the crowd that had been with Jesus when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine being part of that crowd? You know, everybody's there. There's a crowd there. Why? They're mourning. They're mourning over Lazarus' death. And Jesus calls, Lazarus, come forth. It's been 4 days. He comes out of the tomb. What would you do? You'd do exactly what they did. They went and told everybody, you can't believe what we just saw, what Jesus just did. They spread the word to everyone. They kept on telling everyone, this is Jesus and this is what he has done. We can do that, right? We can go around and talk to people, this is Jesus and this is what he's done for you and for me. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the dead. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. You see, it was because of the witness of the first crowd that the second crowd went out to meet him. If the first crowd hadn't been loud and vocal and sharing what they had seen and heard, the second crowd would never have come. And that's the way praise works. When you praise Jesus greatly, you will draw other people to praise him as well. Why? Because they will see his greatness through your praise. Now, of course, not everyone that day came to praise him, right? We got to come to the Pharisees, right? They close out our passage. Poor Pharisees. They are getting so frustrated by all of this, right? Here they are. They're trying to keep Jesus down. They're trying to keep everything contained. Instead, this whole situation just keeps spinning out of control. And we get to verse 19, and they just express their frustrations. The Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Of course, they're exaggerating when they said the whole world has gone after him, although it must have felt that way to them. But you know, there is an unintended irony in their statement. The whole world has gone after him because Jesus had indeed come for the whole world. Jesus came to save all people, all those who will put their faith and trust in him. All people in those days, all people in our days, everybody here, Jesus came to save us when we put our faith and trust in him. Jesus is a great Savior, and he came to save people from every tribe, language, people, and nation in the whole world. That's why Psalms like Psalm 98 say, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King." Praise is contagious. And when we praise Jesus greatly, we draw other people to praise him as well. And so Palm Sunday reminds us that how we praise Jesus matters. Not just that we praise Jesus, that's important, but how we praise Jesus matters. When we praise Jesus greatly, we show that he is worthy of great praise. When we praise Jesus greatly, we display the emotions that are appropriate to his greatness. And when we praise Jesus greatly, we draw other people to praise him as well. So in closing, let me give you the Palm Sunday challenge for today. Ready for the Palm Sunday challenge? Just two things. Praise Jesus greatly and proclaim Jesus boldly. Praise Jesus greatly and proclaim Jesus boldly to others. Don't be afraid to make some noise for Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is a great Savior and he is worthy of great praise. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you. We thank you for this passage of Scripture that captures for us just the joy and the wonder of that first Palm Sunday. And our Lord, that was the way they should have welcomed you. Of course, they didn't stay true. And when they found out that you were a different type of Savior, they kind of turned the other way. But Lord, we want to continue that praise. Lord, we know that when you had another triumphal entry, your triumphal entry into heaven, 40 days after you rose from the dead, as you ascended to heaven, you received loud shouts and cries of praises that continue today and will continue through all eternity. And Lord, as we praise you here from earth, we join the great crowd in heaven in singing your praises. One day, Lord, we will be with you and we will join that crowd there. But in the meantime, we praise you, Jesus. We proclaim you to others. And Lord, may our joy in you, our praise for you, be contagious. May it reach out to others and may it draw them in, that they also may come to know our great and wonderful Savior, our Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.